The book of Galatians, chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of Galatians, chapter 1. And in your Pew Bible, that is going to be page 945. Page 945. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we read God's Word together. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, page 945. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Have you ever noticed how we link words together? And we do so over a period of time, and we finally reach the place that subconsciously we don't think of one word without the other word. For example, peanut butter and jelly. Black and white. Left and right. Right and wrong. Ham and cheese. Salt and pepper. I thought about some others, but I thought, you know, it'll just show how old I am. Andy and Barney. So when something is continually repeated throughout the New Testament, when the writers of the New Testament link words together, they do so for a reason. It's because it's important that the writers of the New Testament are trying to let us see the partnership between these two words, how these two words go together. So the title of today's message in our series, What's So Amazing About Grace? The title of today's message is Grace's Partner, the Partner of Grace. In the New Testament, we read one of them, and how the writers of the New Testament link two words together, grace and peace. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, began his letter to the church at Romans by saying this, "To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, "To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, "To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, "To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Titus chapter 1, verse 4, "To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. Philemon chapter 1 verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul was not the only one that linked these two words together. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. But Peter and Paul were not the only two writers of the New Testament that link these words together. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 3, John starts off his letter by saying, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. When we move into the last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, as John is introducing this book, he says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne. 17 times in the New Testament, a book begins with that same phrase, grace and peace. Grace and peace. I believe it's important that we understand the link between grace and peace. We talk a great deal in the church about grace. We sing about amazing grace. We sing about what grace, what wondrous grace. We sing about grace that is deeper than all of our sins. We sing about grace, and we sometimes tend to focus solely on grace. But the New Testament is trying to show us that whenever grace comes, grace brings peace. Grace brings peace along as his partner. Last week, we defined grace as the following: the friendly kindness or goodwill, especially with reference to the divine favor of God that is free, spontaneous, and universal. Peace, therefore, can be defined as the harmonized relationship between God and man accomplished through grace. The harmonized relationship between God and man that is accomplished through grace. Without grace, there is no peace with God. That was one of the things the Old Testament just clearly portrays to us, that without grace, there never was peace between God and man. The Jews approached the Day of Atonement, that annual celebration, that annual day of repentance in which the high priest would take the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat and or the lamb and would go inside the Holy of Holies, would go inside the veil that represented the wall of separation between God and man, and would bring the offering of the blood to cover the sins of the people. They understood that there is a wall between us and God, and with that wall there, there was no way to find peace. Listen to what the writer of the Psalm said in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. God says this, your iniquities have made a separation between you and me, and your sins have hidden my face from you so that I will not hear. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, he writes and he says, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was the condition of man before grace. having no hope. You remember one of the most famous speeches that former President Ronald Reagan was known for was a speech that he stood on the West Berlin side of the Berlin Wall, and he issued a challenge to the Premier of Russia, Mikhail Gorbachev, and he said to him, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." That has been the cry of mankind since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. And the sin that they committed, the rebellion against God that they committed, was passed down from generation to generation to generation. We have stood on this side of that wall, and we have looked heavenward, and we have said, "God, tear down this wall of separation that no one could cross over." Even the high priest entered that place. The Bible tells us that he entered it with fear and trembling, going into that holy of holy places to bring the sacrifices. Tear down this wall. And God chose to tear down that wall. He tore down that wall through grace, through his son Jesus, through the gift of Christ. God tore down the wall. He did not just bridge the wall. He did not just give us a way to get over the wall. God chose to tear down the wall. If you remember, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the day in which Jesus is crucified, 3 o'clock on Passover was when the high priest would go behind the veil and bring the blood of the sacrifice. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when Jesus cries as he hangs on that cross, "It is finished," and he gives up his life, the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple was torn, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. God reached down with his hand and grabbed hold of the wall, that veil that represented the wall that separated God from man. But he reached down into every wall and he put his hands upon it and he tore it asunder through the grace of God. And in doing so, because he tore down that wall by grace, he gave us peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22, "And through Christ to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." Here again, the first part of that verse, "and through Christ to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his through the blood of the cross." In order for someone to make peace, there must have been war. And when Adam and Eve rebelled in the Garden of Eden, when they chose to believe that God was a liar and that God was not telling them the truth, and they chose to believe the lies of the enemy, and thus they rebelled against God, immediately they brought mankind into warfare with God. And Paul said that when Jesus came, he did not just come to bring us grace. He ended the war. He ended the conflict. He brought resolution. He justified us. He reconciled us back to the Father through his own blood. And in doing so, he gave us peace with God. But not only is it true that without peace, without grace, there is no peace with God, but it is also true that without grace, there is no peace of God. You see, you can have peace with God through simply coming to Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you can have peace with God and still live in this world without experiencing the peace of God. I meet people all the time who are believers, but when they begin talking, they start talking to you about all the things they're worried about, all the things they're afraid of, all the things that might happen, all the things that could happen, all the worst case scenarios. That is a person who has peace with God, but they do not yet have the peace of God. And there is a difference. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. To have the peace of God, all it takes is Jesus, forgive me of my sins, be my Savior. And then I have peace with God. But to have peace with the peace of God, I must condition myself and train myself and train my heart to operate with grace and peace in my life. Jesus again in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Then he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. He's offering the peace of God. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not come just so you could have peace with God. Jesus came so that you could not only have peace with God, but that you could have the peace of God. Paul, the letters that he wrote to churches that were experiencing tribulation. They were experiencing hardship. They were being persecuted by the Romans. They were being persecuted by the Jews. They were being persecuted by the idol worshipers who lived among them. They were marked. When they went in the marketplace, they were marked. Everything they did, they were marked. And Paul began his letters by saying, grace and peace. John, as he begins writing the book of Revelation, the book which I'm going to have to let Homer explain it to us one Sunday morning, because of all the visions that John saw, he started that letter. He said, I'm writing a letter to the seven churches, but I'm writing it to tell you that God's grace and his peace comes with this letter. Do you have the peace of God in your life? Because the world is full of peace robbers, of situations and people and circumstances that seek to rob your peace. They go by various names: fear, shame, worry, anger, doubt, the opinions of other people, what other people think about you, condemnation. There are all types of peace robbers that are running loose in our world. But grace and peace walk together. Hunter, are you holding Salinger? Come here. Then I want you to hold my hand. You didn't know I was going to do this today. So I'm grace and you're peace. Okay? So, what you're going to do is, as we walk through the congregation and various situations try to rob you of your peace, you're going to have to listen to the voice of grace. Okay? Okay. So, we're just walking through life. It's Monday, May 12th. Everything's going well. And suddenly you get a phone call from Holly, and she says, I am so angry at what happened yesterday. And what does peace look like when it's confronted with someone who's angry? Good.
Surprise. Yeah.
And so peace then has to make a decision. Am I going to lose my peace because of Holly's situation? or am I going to listen to the voice of grace who's standing beside me? And so we go on through life. We get past that situation. Peace comes back and grabs onto grace, and we get through that situation. And then all of a sudden, we go somewhere and shame jumps up, and shame starts talking about what you did and how you acted and what you said, and peace drops his head. But grace says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. And grace and peace grabs back onto grace and says, I choose to believe grace. And so grace and peace keep marching on, and then something else happens, and condemnation jumps up, and something that happened 45 years ago pops in your mind, and you start thinking, oh my goodness, I wished I wouldn't have said that. I wished I would have acted differently. I wished I wouldn't have done that way. And then peace starts feeling like I'm overwhelmed, and then grace comes along and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And peace begins to settle back down. You see what's happening? Peace is training itself to listen to the voice of grace. Peace is understanding that as long as I hold on to grace, I will maintain my peace. But when I let go of grace and I get caught up in this, not only do I forget about the grace of God, but I begin to lose my peace. That's why Paul said, you are such a wonderful, oh, you bring me peace. That is why Paul wrote to the churches, and Peter wrote to the churches, and John wrote to the churches and said, grace and peace, because he understood that the way we maintain the peace of God is by listening to the voice of grace. And acting in the manner of grace and living in the realm of grace. Because Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace, but let me tell you, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to face anger and condemnation and shame and bitterness, and you're going to face hard times and situations that just cripple you. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you peace, and peace comes along with grace. Sometimes you can feel your peace getting disturbed. You know, you feel it when you see that caller ID. It's that number. It's that name popping up on your phone. And you start thinking, oh boy. You start wanting to take that deep breath. Oh, what is it now? I've got to answer it. But I sure don't want to. And your peace starts. And you have to decide, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to let this phone number, am I going to let that caller ID, am I going to let this conversation shake my peace, or am I going to lean back into the arms of grace? Sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes it's like a punch in the gut. Sometimes it's the doctor saying, we found something and I'm not sure what it is, and it's like somebody just, boom, right in the stomach. And peace just seems like peace gets knocked out of you, and you're almost kind of staggering, and you have to decide, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And grace is standing there saying, just fall back. Fall into my arms. Come to me. I'm right here with you. It's grace and peace. You see, Jesus did not come to just give us grace. Jesus came so that we could understand that grace and peace go together. And at those times in the world in which I sense that I am losing my peace and I'm getting caught up in the whirlwind and the whirlpool of life, it is then that grace is whispering to us, I'm here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll walk with you through this. Lean into me. Don't get off in your own strength. Lean into grace. How am I going to react? How am I going to respond? I have to lean into grace because my flesh wants to get after it like a tiger, but I got to lean into grace, and I've got to train my heart. I have to discipline my mind. I'm going to have to just say, Holy Spirit, you know sometimes that I want to react. I want to just let everybody, I want to just give them a piece of my mind, and I want to strike back, but oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me operate in the realm of grace. Help me operate in the realm of grace. And when I begin to just call out to grace, grace begins to reach out to my peace and just begins to bring peace back to me and says, I'm bringing you right back into that partnership. Grace and peace be with you. And that's my prayer for each of you today. Grace and peace be with you. Don't go through life saying, well, I have peace with God, when the Scripture says that grace came with peace. Not just the peace with God, but the peace of God. And that is why grace is far more amazing than you and I comprehend. Because grace does not act alone. Grace has a partner. And the partner of grace is called peace. Father, I thank you for the grace of God. And I thank you for the peace of God. Father, I'm reminded today of what Isaiah said, or what you said to Isaiah. You said, I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me. Oh, Lord, we have been the bountiful recipients of grace. We're thankful for grace that came so that we could have peace with the Father. But, oh, Lord, we don't want to live knowing that we have grace with the Father and yet live in worry and doubt and shame and condemnation. Lord, grace came that we could not only have peace with you, but that we could have your peace to accompany us every day. Thank you, Father, that your grace is more amazing than we can even imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.